Are semi-auto rifles taking over PRS? This week in Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we have a question from Paul, and Paul asks, are bolt actions still going to be valid in PRS, or are semi-autos going to take over as being the standard in PRS matches? Well, Paul, that's a great question. We've talked, it's probably more than a year ago now, about semi-autos in the Precision Rifle Series style matches, or field marksmanship matches where you're shooting off of barricades, different positions, etc. So far, semi-autos still have really not gained the popularity that bolt-action rifles have in these different shooting sports. And I think the primary reason is most of the time, there's plenty of time to actually get the shots off if you're taking into account just running the bolt. Running the bolt is not the speed limit. Getting solid in your position is the speed limit on a lot of these stages. So guys are not timing out with shots still in the magazine because of the action of the rifle. They're timing out because they are not moving efficiently from position to position. They are not getting the gun stable quick enough to get off that precision shot. And I've been there. I have not yet really felt that I lost a match because I was shooting a bolt gun instead of a semi-auto. I haven't thought yet that if I was shooting a semi-auto, I would have been able to shoot faster. Now, there may be individual stages where a certain obstacle would have allowed me to get shots off quicker had I been able to just stay on the gun and stay in the optic instead of breaking my shooting position to run the bolt, because sometimes just due to the way the obstacle is set up, that strong side hand is providing support to the gun, and to break it causes you to come off target just a little bit. But the rifle like I have sitting here in front of me, this is the old Mega Arms Maten 6.5 Creedmoor project that we did years and years ago. It is a 24-inch Criterion barrel, chambered in 6.5 Creedmoor. It has the Mega Arms megalithic upper receiver. So this is a one-piece upper receiver with an integrated bubble level. That's why it's not called a monolithic receiver, because a certain other company apparently had patents on the monolithic AR upper receiver. Other than that, it's a fairly basic setup. Now, I have upgraded this. It does have a JP low mass operating system in it right now, and it has a JP recoil assembly, the silent captured recoil assembly in the back of it, and it has a Geissele high-speed two-stage trigger in here, which is an absolutely amazing two-stage trigger. It feels really good in this rifle, and a few other little components. And of course, we have a B&T Industries Atlas bipod with a really right stuff clamp on top of here, and a US Optics scope sitting on top of it. I believe this is the B17 scope. We went through a couple of different ones, but that is what is on here right now. So this rifle I shot through a couple of DM matches, a couple of PRS style matches, and really once I was all said and done, what I got out of this is that my bolt guns are just a little bit more accurate when we're talking about just razor's edge accuracy. The velocity between the two, it really comes down to the finish inside the barrel. The Criterion barrel is pretty good, but it's just a little bit slower than some of the other barrels that I'm running, like the IBI barrel. The gas system does bring in a little bit of a different feeling in shooting the rifle. Bolt guns obviously feel very solid when you shoot them, because when you pull the trigger, nothing happens until you cycle the bolt. So you pull the trigger, you get the sharp recoil from the shot going off, and then you run the bolt. With heavyweight ARs like this, even running something like the low mass operating system and an adjustable gas block, It takes some tuning to get it dialed in to where you get the minimum amount of recoil, because when you fire, you get the initial recoil from the shot going off. You get the heavy bolt carrier and buffer assembly slamming to the rear into it, so you get a little bit of a secondary impulse, and then everything has to go forward, strip the round and chamber again, so you get a little bit of a forward or a negative recoil impulse on it. So that happens every time you press the trigger. So that is a little bit different. Some people don't like that. Lastly, the brass. A lot of us that reload, if you're using expensive cases that you've spent a lot of time on, those go flying in the wind when we're using semi-autos. They usually bang off the shell deflector. They go bouncing out. They get beat up. When I'm running this gun in competition, I will usually run a brass catcher on it. The brass catcher allows me to retain most all of my cases. Occasionally, one will work its way out. But the tactical brass recovery catchers are really one of the best in the business, and it retains most of my fired cases, so I don't have to go looking for them. I don't have to go picking them up off the ground. But the flip side of that is the brass catcher hanging off the side of the gun. It now creates issues when I'm working on some obstacles. It actually attaches to this rail up here, so it actually starts right about here. So if I have something like a cattle gate or something where I want to push the gun against the side of the barricade, I can't do that with the brass catcher out here. I can't pin it against something very solid like the side of the forearm and side of the scope. So there's a little bit difference in how you drive it. Secondly, I find that you need a harder hold on a semi-automatic gun to get it to perform to its best. If you get a little bit loose on the gun, then you start to get flyers. That's just been my experience with it. When you go down to a lighter weight AR-15, I tend to not see that as much. But with the heavyweight ARs, I tend to see if you loosen up on the gun, then you can very quickly get some flyers. So all of those issues tend to remove the benefit that you have just by faster cycling time on the action itself. Now, when I'm running a bolt gun with a 60-degree bolt lift, the amount of time it takes me to fire shot, bolt up a new round, and get back on target is very, very minimal in the overall scheme of things. And really, if you put it on the clock, the biggest difference is going to be from a prone position. From a prone position where I can really drive this gun and just sit there and just cycle the trigger for shot after shot after shot. The semi-auto is, bar none, the fastest. But does it really matter if you have a 10-shot stage, if you have 2 minutes to run the 10-shot stage, or even a minute and a half to run the 10-shot stage, and you finish it, clean the stage, and have a minute left, or you finish it, clean the stage, and have 20 seconds left? However, with the bolt gun, once we move up into actually shooting off of a barricade, when you fire that shot, you're coming off the barricade and you're moving. So let's say, for instance, we have a standard stair-step barricade. You're going to fire shot, move to the next one, fire shot, move to the next one, fire shot, move to the next one, and you have to do that through different ports until you get to the end. Now, with a bolt gun, I'm going to fire my shot. I'm going to rip the bolt as I come off the barricade. So bolts to the rear, and I'm moving to the next position. I'm getting into it. I'm shouldering the gun up, and I'm bolting up the cartridge as I'm getting into position. And when the gun settles down, I can fire that shot. And again, rip the bolt, come off the barricade into the next one. There's almost no time advantage with a semi-auto on that, because I have to fire the shot, I have to operate the weapon on safe, call out that my weapon is on safe, move to the next position, level the gun, safety on, or selector to fire, fire the shot, safety on, weapon's on safe, move to the next position. So minimal time advantage there. I say minimal, there is a time advantage, but it's very, very small. And depending upon the difficulty of the shot, it depends on if there's going to be an accuracy advantage to the one gun or the other. I just find that I'm quicker to settle a bolt gun than I am to settle the semi-automatic guns. Now, I have not gone through and tried to get this gun balanced out perfectly. That is one of the huge benefits that I have with the bolt guns that I run. This one right now is tail heavy, and it will be even more when I put a magazine in here. So it'll be even more significantly tail heavy there. So you don't get the benefit of a well-balanced gun. Now, if I was to rebuild this gun now, I would rebuild it with a longer forend on here, which first of all protects the barrel a little bit more. It gives me more forend that I can rest on things. And then I may take weights like the MDT modular weights and try to get the gun balanced out. But I think after doing that, I would end up with a very heavy semi-automatic rifle. And this is already a heavy rifle. So again, we get up into those extremely heavy guns. And then lastly, if you're trying to just absolutely build a gun that will just punch one ragged hole at 100 yards, the semi-autos, it's more difficult to do that. You can, it's just a whole lot more difficult. This is a relatively heavy barrel that I have on here, and it is still not as heavy as most of the common guns that you will see in the PRS, most of the common bolt guns. So this barrel could still be a little bit heavier here ahead of the gas block journal, but it really doesn't have a ton more that it can go underneath the handguard here and still be able to get the barrel nut over and tighten everything down. So you get a little bit more freedom with gun configuration with the bolt guns too. All that to be said that I really don't see gas guns taking over the open class of PRS anytime soon. I think that's why we still see the gas gun division. If you wanted to shoot a gas gun, I would highly encourage you to shoot a gas gun, but I would highly encourage you to shoot it in the gas gun division where you're going to be shooting against similar guns. Now, in matches or competitions where you can shoot a gas gun in open division, you're not restricted to shooting gas guns only in the gas gun division. I'm not entirely certain that you would have a huge benefit in most of the matches, unless you specifically know that the match is going to have stages where you are in a fixed position shooting multiple shots on multiple targets before you have to transition to another one. Those kind of positions, a gas gun dominates as long as you have a reticle that allows you to stay in the scope and you're holding for windage and elevation, then they can do very, very well. They can give you a time advantage. And again, you need small time limits, really short time limits to be able to benefit. Same thing with the magazine. Most of the guns that you are going to see running in these gas gun divisions are going to be at least 20 round capacity magazines. So, you know, that gives you a benefit if you have to shoot a 15 round stage or something and you don't have to change magazines, then again, you get a benefit. But if you are looking at something like open class, a lot of the guys that are running at the top of open class are shooting short magnums, or even sometimes long action magnums. So something like a 6.5 PRC, I don't know how well that's going to work reliably in a gas gun. So we're gonna kind of see going forward if gas guns develop to continue to head that direction. I only know a couple of somewhat reliable magnum semi-automatic rifles, and still they're not really giving the same level of accuracy that cartridge in a heavy-duty bolt-action precision rifle is going to give you. So if you have a semi-automatic gun, then absolutely take it out and compete with it. But if you're building a gun for competition right now, I think you are still better off with grabbing one of the high-end bolt-actions, put on a top-end barrel on it, and put it in your choice of chassis system, and I think that really will be the better option. Sticking with something like a 60-degree bolt throw, something that will allow you to run an extended magazine on it, so a 12-round or a 15-round magazine, then that's probably going to be the best route for PRS style competition right now. But again, a lot of guys just really love gas guns. Now, if we switch things over and we go to the law enforcement side of things, there are huge, huge benefits for gas guns. For one, they don't need to be a 24-inch 6.5 Creedmoor. You can run in most jurisdictions, most areas, a LE sniper could run a 16-inch 308 and have a very, very formidable package, but moreover a package where the sniper can have a defensive weapon while he is moving into position and then change over to that sniper role once he gets into position. So a gun like this with a 16-inch barrel chambered in 308 and you put a 45-degree red dot on here, that's a gun that you can patrol into position. If you have chance contact while you're moving into position and take fire, you can very easily gunfight with a 16-inch 308. So that's a huge benefit because in that same situation, if you encountered somebody with a carbine up close with a bolt gun, that's going to be a bad day for you. So I think the law enforcement side of things, the semi-automatic offers a ton of advantages. Now, bolt guns still tend to be cheaper than semi-automatic rifles, high-end reliable semi-automatic rifles. So there you kind of run into that. So it may be a while before you see a lot of departments switching over to them. But most departments I know right now have the option of either a 5.56 or a 308 semi-auto somewhere in their arsenal. So that's my general opinion about semi-automatic rifles in PRS competition. Now, I haven't shot this in a PRS match in several years. I may have to get it out and just shoot one of our local matches with it again, just to remind myself of my likes and dislikes of it. It is now so far apart from my standard bolt-action guns that I shoot in competition that's probably going to take a little bit of mental effort to switch over and go that route. I don't have my Arca rail on here, although I could put an Arca rail on the bottom of this. It's a Key Mod 4-end, and Henderson Precision does make an Arca rail that will bolt right up to this guy. I don't have my balanced out 4-end. As I said, the brass catcher tends to get in the way and drag on obstacles. But other than that, this is a fun gun to shoot. So we may see going forward if I go ahead and break it out and bring it out to another PRS match. So that is my opinion. But as always, I want to hear your opinion. What do you think about gas guns in PRS matches? Do you think you would rather go gas gun or bolt gun in a PRS match, and why? Go ahead and drop your comment in the comment section down below, or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you guys like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you want to be notified when we release new videos, please click that little bell icon down there. Otherwise, YouTube will just stay silent on the whole matter. And if you want to know how to support the videos that you know and love, please check us out over on Patreon. And as always, I do have a lot of videos in the works. We are working on the Terminus Zeus build video. I've got another range trip to check some issues that we encountered on that, and we will run that down in the full review video. We also have the second IBI barrel in, the 5.56 barrel in. I'm sorry, 223 barrel in. We're already talking about 5.56s with these guns, so 5.56 on the brain, but we have the 223 barrel in, so we will be able to switch back and forth between the two and see what kind of zero shift we get between the two different barrels, and we will get that video back to you. Also, if you happen to be in the Evansville, Indiana, Newburgh, Indiana, the southwestern Indiana area, on November 28th, I will be doing a basic AR-15 class. It's an 8-hour class, and it's just basic safety and handling of the AR-15. So if you guys want to check that out, we'll leave a link down below in the comment section. And until next time, get out and shoot.